Well, good morning. How are you guys doing? Let me introduce myself for those of you that might be a little bit confused. I'm not here pushing for my campaign. I am not Obama. My name is Daniel. People have been giving me a hard time all morning. You look just like Obama. All right. My name is Daniel. I help here with the worship. I help with the youth. And Terry hit me up about 6 weeks ago that he was going to be out of town, and I said, yeah. And he said, well, I want you to cover for me on a Sunday. I said, are you sure? And he said, yeah, I want you to cover for me on a Sunday. I said, all right. It's a joy, and it's humbling, again, to just be here and just to share God's Word with you guys. Let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you so much. Lord, that you give us so many things and that you've blessed us so abundantly. Lord, everything that is good, it comes from you. But Lord, I pray for our hearts, or that you would reveal to us, Lord, where we are. Lord, what our perspective and what our goals, what our ambitions in life really are. Lord, that you would reveal to us what we're most concerned about this morning. Father, I pray that we would be fully consumed by you and by your kingdom. Lord, would you teach us this morning? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, coming and talking and just picking a subject, sometimes it's hard because you just got to pick something. I mean, when you're going through the book and you're just going verse by verse, you pick up where you left off. But this time it was just pretty obvious for me. And just to get a little bit personal with you guys, I mean, lately my mind has been consumed by just our economy, like what this country is going through. I don't know if many of you or any of you could relate, but perhaps you're kind of slow at work. Perhaps maybe some of you have maybe lost your jobs, or you're in fear of losing your job. I'm the youngest of seven. That's right, I got beat up by six older siblings all my life. It never ends. But, you know, we have a family business, and blessed by God, and there's a couple of family businesses, and I work with my brother. We do cabinets, we do countertops. And as you know, housing has just been slow. I mean, builders haven't been building quite the way they always have been, and my brother and I are just constantly looking at each other with sad faces. What are we going to do now? You know, and so I wanted to pick a text that would speak to my heart about that, that would bring me comfort. And the more that I studied this text, the more I realized that I shouldn't even be worried about it. If you could turn with me to Luke chapter 12, we're going to look at verses 13 through 34, and I've titled this message, Where is Your Heart? Where is your heart? The way I see it after studying these verses, your heart is in one of two places. It's either in this world or it's in His kingdom. It's either in this world or in His kingdom. Now, our country, man, it's such a blessing to us. I love living in America. It's awesome. We have tremendous freedom. It's cool that we can come publicly, open the Word of God, study His Word, praise God openly, and not fear about anything happening to us. We also have so much help from the government. The government takes care of us for the most part, right? We have financial aid for those of you that are going to school. We have Medicaid. We have all sorts of aids from the government. And of course, we live in the land of opportunity. Man, if you've got any idea for anything that you could possibly sell and make money, more than likely you can do it. You just go and in this country, you start your own business and do it. It's unbelievable. But that's not all there is to life. That's not what life is all about. There was a middle-aged woman who had a heart attack and was taken to the hospital. While on the operating table, she had a near-death experience. Seeing God, she asked if this was it, and God said, no. You have another 43 years, 2 months, and 8 days to live. Upon recovery, the woman decided to stay in the hospital and have a facelift, liposuction, breast augmentation, tummy tuck, and other cosmetic surgery. She even changed her hair color, figuring since she had so much time to live, she might as well make the most of it. She got out of the hospital after the last operation, and while crossing the street, she was killed by an ambulance speeding in front of the hospital. Arriving in front of God, she demanded, "I thought you said I had 40 some odd years left." And he said, "I didn't recognize you." Isn't that a picture of our society, man? We are just so concerned with this life. But I have a question for you guys. Just imagine and think with me. What if our country's economy kept going downhill? Because perhaps this text won't apply to us so much, but what if this country's economy kept going downhill? What if you lost your job? Maybe your home? Maybe your most prized possessions? What if you had to give it up? What if, just imagine, but what if we went into a depression, much like the Great Depression? What if that happened? What would you do? What would you do with all the things that you've worked so hard for? What would they be worth? Or what about when death comes upon you? What benefit will it be which country you live in? It won't really matter at all. Don't get me wrong again, I love this country. We've got it made here, but it cannot guarantee you a future of paradise. It just cannot. But we're going to see here that God can. Those who want it can have it. God promises an eternal future of blessings, and our hope is secure and guaranteed in Christ Jesus. And so I ask you guys this morning, where is your heart? Where is your heart? Go ahead and read with me in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 and on. It says, "Then one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' But he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?' And he said to them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses.' Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, 'The ground of a certain man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do since I have no room to store my crops?" And so he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store my crops and my goods." So we see here that this man had his hopes on this present temporary life, and how short-sighted he was. First of all, I want to point out that you know that your heart is in this world if your concern is mainly for material things. If you look at verses 13 through 15, what a question to ask Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior who came to earth to save the world. Man, if I were there, I would have probably slapped this guy on the back of the head. "Dude, what are you doing, man?" That's a horrible question to ask him, but that just goes to show where man's mind really is. That's where we are. That's what we're so concerned about. Your heart is in this world if that is your main concern. And look at Jesus' response. He said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." What was Jesus' response? "Dude, I didn't come here to give you more things, an easy life, a Cadillac, mansions and stuff like that. I'm here to take care of business with your soul and for your soul." That is what Jesus would say to that man. And also, another thing that shows that your heart is in this world if you're constantly trying and striving to have just more and more and more and more. That word covetousness could be translated greed. It's a thirst for having more. I want it. Luke, my son, he's 2 years old. And I was just laughing when I was thinking about this. Anytime he wants something, he just starts crying. "Luke, what's wrong? I want it." "What do you want, man? Don't cry. Just tell me." And I was just thinking, you know, how many of you guys, let's just say we had no control of, like, weeping uncontrollably when we wanted something and didn't have it. Oh, my goodness. We would all be crying like big babies, wouldn't we? I have to be honest with you. Oh, this is bad, but I'm going to be honest with you. I wish I could go and buy, like, a boat, a motorhome, a nicer house, another car, just all sorts of things, and it's horrible. But that's how we are. And we have to be careful of that. Jesus says, take caution, man. Do not let it happen. And what does this man try and do? Look at verse 16. Jesus tells a parable, and it says that the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And it says that he thought within himself, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? Well, we see nowhere that this man sits down, bows down, and thanks God for what he has. We see nowhere that this man has any intentions of sharing his wealth and just having a giving heart. What we see is, man, you know what? I made so much this year. What am I going to do with my money? Where can I store it? I mean, I'm going to tear down these barns and I'm going to make bigger ones and all this just to satisfy his flesh. And he could have given the excess to the poor, to the needy. Maybe to some missionaries. I don't know. Maybe he could have done that. What does God say about a person with that heart? What would he say to that man? Well, read with me in verse 20. It says, God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? And so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Man, if you're here this morning and that is your only concern, to have a great life and to live abundantly in this awesome country, then God would say to you, fool. That is so foolish. Because that is so short-sighted. God tells him, look, man, your number's up tonight. You're not even going to get to enjoy all that you've worked hard for. Somebody else is. He sought to care for his body, but he did not look to God for his soul. Verse 21, so is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Man, I have that question for you once again. Where is your heart? Is your heart in this world? We have to be careful with that. What I really wanted to teach on was these next verses, but we had to read this for context because all this goes off of that one question that this crazy guy asked. Lord, tell my brother to divide the inheritance. Let's go ahead and read on in verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, this is to those that are Jesus' followers, okay? He says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they never sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. I find it interesting that when Jesus speaks to his disciples, he doesn't say, okay, now don't worry about which bank to put your millions and millions of dollars in. He doesn't say, don't worry about who you're going to hire to take care of your mansions here on earth. Don't worry about all your huge business decisions that are going to make you millions and millions of bucks. I find it kind of funny that he just says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Now, first off, he starts by saying, look, bottom line, don't worry. Okay, don't worry. A Swedish proverb says that worry gives a small thing a big shadow. And isn't that true? I think I read somewhere that we spend 40% of the time worrying about things that are just never even going to happen. We're so consumed by worry. And that word worry in verse 22 means to expend careful thought, to concern yourself. It's like meditating, man, what if this happens? What if that happens? Oh no. You just keep going on and on and on and on, and you're consumed by it. And in verse 29, he says, don't have an anxious mind. It could be translated, don't be excited with anxiety. Don't be in anxious suspense. And don't worry, Jesus tells the disciples, look, beware of covetousness. Don't even go there. But to you guys, man, don't worry about what you're going to eat or anything like that. And he goes down a list, kind of. He says, first of all, don't worry about what you're going to eat. We see that in verse 23. And in verse 24 and in verses 29 through 30. And he tells them not to worry about what they're going to wear. Basically, I think Jesus is looking to his disciples and he says, look, don't worry about your needs, man. Just don't worry about it. Your focus should not be on your needs. Your mind should not be consumed on worries for this life. Your time would be foolishly spent if you were to worry about things in the present. Well, why should we not worry, though? Well, look at verse 23. He says, life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Man, our life doesn't consist really of material things. Well, for Americans, I think it does, unfortunately. We've got it so easy, man. But that's not what life is all about, right? There's going to come a day, my friend, the Bible says you're born into this world with nothing and you're going to leave this world with nothing. And that's the bottom line. Life consists of more than just food and clothing. That is not what you were put on this earth to do, to eat and clothe yourself. That's not why God made you. I'm a big dork sometimes, all the time, and I try and dress sometimes to make myself look like less of a dork. I think maybe you won't admit it, but you do too. But that's not why we're here, man. That's not why we're not here to just look cool. We're not here to worry about those kinds of things. And then, of course, he gives examples of how God is faithful. In verse 24, he says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the bird? You know, ravens in Leviticus are considered unclean. That's if I were to come to you guys and say, think about the rats in your house. Think about the mice and all those other little creatures that maybe get to you. But you know what? God takes care of them. God looks after them and He provides for all of those creatures. Man, Jesus says, if God does that, dude, you're worth way more than a sparrow, a bird, a raven. He's not going to let you down, man. He's going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. And he says again in verse 27 about the lilies. It says, consider all the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? Solomon, we read, was a rich dude. That guy had it all. And it went well for him because God asked him, dude, what do you want? And instead of asking for riches and anything else, he said, God, just give me wisdom that I could choose and just be wise and live for you. And God said, man, that's an awesome request. You know what? I'm going to give you the riches anyway. And so Solomon had it all. But even the flowers, Jesus says, I mean, he doesn't even compare to those. And that's just natural. What did they do to have that? Again, we never hear them grunting. Oh, I got petals. We need some more petals. Dude, it just happens. It just grows on them. And you know what? They're beautiful. When I first started to go after my wife, Sarah, I got her flowers, and she loved them. And of course, why? Because they're beautiful, man. Roses, well, they have thorns, but you cut them off, but they're beautiful. You know, they're awesome. So Jesus says, look, the disciples, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Again, why? Well, look at verse 25. Which of you, by worrying, can add a cubit to his stature? That is to say, which of you, by worrying, can add a foot to your height? Or it could also be translated, which of you, by worrying, can add a moment to your life? And I think that applies more in this context. Man, which of you, by worrying about anything, really, but about what you're going to wear, about what you're going to eat, what good is it going to do you? It's not going to give you a longer life. If anything, it's going to stress you out. Maybe have a heart attack, I don't know. Worrying, Jesus says, just gets you nowhere. It gets you nowhere. And if we read on in verse 26, if then you're not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Man, if you can't even, like, nothing good comes from worrying, let it end there, man. Realize it. It's not going to do you any good. So Jesus says, look, don't worry. Be happy. No. He says, don't worry. Just don't worry, man. Just, I'm going to take care of you. Many of us know Philippians chapter 4. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make a request to be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. C.S. Lewis wrote, the future is something that everyone reaches at a rate of 60 minutes an hour. And worrying gets us nowhere. And of course, the ultimate reason, verse 30. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. And God knows your needs. Man, I just want to encourage anybody that's here, look, if you're going through maybe difficult times, financially or whatever, God cares about every detail in your life. He cares and He knows. And you know what? He's not going to let you down. He said, man, I'm never going to leave you, and I'm never going to forsake you. That is Jesus' promise to His disciples. So where is your heart? Is it in the world? Are you worried and consumed about what you have? Or maybe, as a disciple of Christ, are you just worried? Where should our heart be? Where is your heart? Well, our heart should be in His kingdom. Let's read on in verse 31. Jesus said, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your heart? Jesus says, look, I ask that you have one concern that would consume your heart. Not how much money you have. Not even, am I going to have enough to just live and get by? Not even that. Your one concern should be to seek my kingdom. That could be translated to aim at, or to strive for. Man, what is your goal in life? Man, Lord, I'm looking for your kingdom, man. How can I further it? What can I do? I want to make sure I get there, first of all. Man, Jesus says, don't worry about anything. And this is so awesome. The more I studied this, as I was thinking about my concerns, perhaps at work, and perhaps of our country and this economy, the more I studied this, the less I got to think about it. It's like a replacement kind of a deal. Man, replace your worry with seeking for His kingdom. Okay? How do we seek His kingdom? What does it mean to seek His kingdom? Because this is really important. This needs to be our perspective. Well, I just want to take us a few chapters to the left and just kind of see one example. If you could turn with me to Luke chapter 10. And look at verse 38 with me, and let's read. And it says, "Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" Man, we see that even serving and being caught up in actions and things can overconsume our minds, and that's not even what seeking His kingdom is about, really. Sure, if you're called to do something, you need to go and do it, but that's not what it's all about. Seeking His kingdom is just doing as Mary did, and we see that she just sat at Jesus' feet and she listened. She sat at His feet and listened. She sat at His feet and worshipped Him. How do we start to look for His kingdom? How do we start to do that? Man, you have to look to Jesus, first of all, for your salvation. What is His kingdom? Man, His kingdom is eternal. His kingdom is in heaven. His kingdom is beyond just this life. It's past all that. This world is nothing. The Bible says it's just a vapor. Poof. And as you see a vapor just evaporate and go away, that's this life. Dude, it's going to be gone quick. I'm 29 years old, but I don't know if I'm going to live to be 80 or not. Maybe I'm going to die tonight. And then what? So we have to look first to Jesus for salvation. What else can we do to seek His kingdom? Well, I think that whatever we do, we need to try and do it well. Lord, okay, I look to You, Lord Jesus, because You've saved me. You've died for my sins. I want to be a part of Your kingdom. I want to enter into eternal life. But what do I do in the meantime, Lord? What can I do to repay You? How can I further seek Your kingdom? Well, what are You called to do in life? And it doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, a preacher, a teacher, a worship leader, or an usher. It doesn't have to really necessarily be involved at church even. But just whatever you do, do it well and to the glory of God. Why? So that you could seek advancement of His kingdom. Man, I want Your kingdom to be full of all of my friends. Even those crazy ones back in high school. I want everybody to be there. Lord, I want to seek Your kingdom. This is what's consuming my life, Lord. This is what I see now, Lord. I see that this is what life is about. Man, it's about Your kingdom. And what else can we do? Well, we can seek that God rules more and more in my heart and in the hearts of those around you. Because that's really what it is. His kingdom, man, for there to be a kingdom, there has to be a king. And who is king? Jesus is king. And the more Jesus becomes king of your heart, oh man, it just gets sweeter and sweeter. Like when you eat a watermelon, you just get to the middle. Sometimes I just cut the middle out and just. It just gets sweeter, man. It just gets way sweeter. We read also that God wants to give us His kingdom. Look at verse 32, back in chapter 12. It says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Man, it is His pleasure. Do you know that God doesn't give grudgingly? All right, you can have this. But that's the last of it. That's not the way He is. He comes and He says, "Man, I have so much to give to you. I have plans for you that you can't even imagine that are just beautiful and awesome. And I have a hope to give to you that is eternal, that is secure, that's not going to be robbed." and I have so much for you, and it's my pleasure to give it to you, he says. It's my pleasure. In verse 33, it says, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. Man, if you seek his kingdom, he's going to give to you abundantly what really counts. But he also says, look, have a loose grip on everything that you own. Just go easy on it, man. Just don't worry about it. He says, you know what? Go and sell what you have and give to the poor. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not going to go and sell everything I have, honestly. But there's a lot of things that I could do without. And instead of working so hard in my life to live comfortably, oh, I can use money to bless people that are working for God. I can give to maybe the homeless guy that's at the corner and just bless them. I can give to maybe an orphanage or missionaries that are their main purpose and goal is life, as they've figured it out, is to just further his kingdom. And you know what? If I do that, I'm laying up for myself real treasures. Treasures that are in heaven. I didn't go to college. I got offended because my cousin called me a dropout. But I went to college for 1 year. And then I went to the school of ministry. I went to Shepherd School. And I figured that's what I really want my life to be about. It's just serving God. But I do admire how a lot of people, the youth, a lot of times that I teach, they're going off to college. They're talking about how awesome and how interesting their classes are. And I'm happy for them because they're going out and they're setting goals in this life and they're going to have a strong future. But I think that we're still too short-sighted. And yeah, I'm not saying be lazy. If you're lazy, the Bible says, look at the ant, you sluggard. We're not supposed to be lazy, but think beyond this lifetime. Hey, you want to have a good, you know, life when you're older, a good retirement and all that. Okay. But is that where your heart is? You need to ask yourself that. Is that really where your heart is? Be loosely attached to what you have and give to the needy. And then, of course, verse 33, sell what you have, give alms, provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. Guys, these treasures in heaven are going to be inexhaustible. Isn't it funny how you save up money and then you could spend it like that? Or maybe you've tried this. Instead of using, I use a debit card all the time. So from time to time, I'll just take out cash and I'll put it in my wallet. And in a few days, I go to pay for something and it's like, there's no more. What happened to it? And you know what? The more we save up, that's good. But you know what? It's going to come to an end. Whether it's when you die or whether if you're just foolish and you use it all up and go and spend it all fast. The treasures that you lay up in heaven, though, there's no bottom. There's nothing. The stock market, if it breaks, it's okay. It's still going to be okay in heaven. The treasures that you have in heaven aren't going to be robbed by anybody. Oh, we have alarm systems. We have all sorts of safety things that we do to take care of our future and stuff like that. In heaven, God says, look, don't worry. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And this is eternal, my friend. You're going to reap what you sow eternally. It's the best. It's the best kind of investment there is. And of course, it won't rot. I bought a new truck a few years ago. It rattles a lot now. It's all scratched. I have dents on it. And it's like, man, we could have used that money somewhere else. In heaven, there's nothing like that. Verse 34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it kind of works both ways. You can see it both ways. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. If your treasure in heaven is in heaven, that's where your heart is going to be. If your treasure is here on earth, I'm sorry, but that's where your heart is going to be. And at the same time, if your treasure is in heaven, then here on earth, your heart is going to be focused and aiming on that. And if your treasure is here on earth, then your heart is going to be focused and aiming at that. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? I can't say it as well as Matthew Henry did. He said, "Now by this it appears that we have laid up our treasure in heaven. If our hearts be there while we are here, if we think much of heaven and keep our eye upon it, if we quicken ourselves with the hopes of it and keep ourselves in awe with the fear of falling short of it." Where is your heart? Now, I want to be careful because I fear that maybe some of you are kind of like this now. Maybe you feel bad for having a good job. Hey, you worked hard. Maybe you've got money. All right. It's not bad to have money. And I kind of wrote this down. I was trying to be poetic, and I'm not poetic, but this is what I wrote down. Being poor won't take us to heaven. Being rich won't take us to hell. But your goals, desires, and ambitions, that's another story to tell. You know what? Just because you're rich doesn't mean you're going to go to hell. And you can't say, well, then I'm going to be poor. That doesn't automatically give you the ticket to heaven. But where your goals, where your thoughts, where your motives, where your intentions, what you're striving for in life, that has a lot to do with determining where you're going to end up once you die. That has everything to do with it. Where is your heart? Man, disciples of Christ, if you're here this morning and you're concerned financially, Jesus would say to you guys, don't worry. You know what? Don't even focus or think about those things. But instead, just seek me. And what does he say there in verse 31? Seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And just seek me, okay? Just almost like if you were to get your face and turn it towards him and say, just look at me. Just walk towards me. Just come towards me. And if you're doing that, then that's awesome. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. To those of you who are here and that are living well, thank God for it, man. God has blessed you. But Jesus would say to you, seek my kingdom first. Be a good steward of what I have lent you. Have a loose grip on what you own. Give to the needy. Lay up treasures in heaven for eternity. So I think this text speaks to everybody, whatever state we're in. To those whose heart is in this world, who maybe just have the focus, and maybe you're seeing now that, gosh, I've been focused on the wrong things. We need to refocus, man. Do this with your lens here. And just look, what am I really living for? Jesus would say to you, I died for you to give you an eternal life. He would say to you, don't spend your life on things that are only temporary, but rather seek my kingdom and I'll give you the rest and a true hope for your soul. Where is your heart? From all of these verses, I think that is what Jesus communicated to his disciples, and I think that's what he wants to communicate to us this morning. Man, where is your heart? Is it in heaven, in his kingdom, seeking his kingdom? Or is it here on earth? We need to be careful. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord God, I thank you so much that you have spoken these words to us, because there's so many applications for us. Lord, I pray for those of us here that are maybe going through financial difficulties, or maybe fear what's in store for them in the future. Lord, I pray that you would just get our focus off of all those things and just on you and on your kingdom. And Lord, I pray for those here that are living well. Lord, that we would just be careful not to allow our hearts to go too far that way. Lord, that we would not lose focus of why we're here on this earth, why you give us every breath and every heartbeat. Lord, that it's not to just store up for ourselves a life of comfort, but Lord, that it's to store up a treasure in heaven and to seek your kingdom first. Lord, keep our motives pure. And Lord, I pray for those that are here that maybe just are only focused on things in this lifetime. Lord, you know their hearts, you know their motives, you see everything. Nothing is hid from you. And Lord, I pray for them that they would give their life to you. Lord, that they would seek to know you first and that they would enter into your kingdom. Lord, that you would just tug on their hearts and reveal yourself to them. And I would just say, as everybody's eyes closed, every head bowed, if there's anybody here that wants to start to seek his kingdom, give your life to Christ. And you can do it by a simple prayer. And if you would just say in your heart to him, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Be king of my heart. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I believe that you died and that you rose again. In Jesus' name. And Lord God, we just love you. We worship you. And we praise you for all of your blessings. And everybody said, amen. Let's go ahead and stand up. And I just want to encourage you guys. If anybody said that prayer and just gave your life to Christ, if you could just, there's going to be people over here waiting to pray with you. And we just want to give you more material just so that you can learn more about what it is to seek his kingdom. And we be focused on him. God bless you.
Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, bless you for sin.